And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Thursdays at 5 o'clock. I get a little smarter, and I hope all of you appreciate my fine guests in this segment from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, we've got Joe Radosevich. He is the Vice President for Campaigns and Outreach. We're going to review Trump's first 100 days, which can be summarized by Donald Trump's terror of error, corruption incorporated. What's that you say? You wanted your 401k to be okay? Maybe not. Just pick your catastrophe metaphor. That's what we've got. Joe, I have to start by asking you about the insane news of today. It used to be that news cycles slowed down towards the end of the week.
Yeah.
Right? Not anymore. Old rules are all gone. Mike Walls out as national security advisor. Mark Wayne Mullen suggesting moments ago that he wasn't actually fired, but that he decided to leave his role as national security advisor to spend more time with his, quote, new family, despite the fact that he's now going to be ambassador to the United Nations pending Senate confirmation, which should be rich because he'll be under oath. You got Secretary of State Marco Rubio now also taking over the role of the National Security Advisor, a dual role not had since Henry Kissinger. The same Trump-appointed judge ruling twice today against the administration, most notably declaring that the Alien Enemies Act cannot actually be invoked in times that aren't war and when we're not actually being invaded, giving full meaning to the words in English that are in the Alien Enemies Act. Joe, what do you make of today's news? How bad is this?
There's so much to parse through, and I think they would love if we spent all the time doing that rather than, you know, all the ways that they're hurting people across the country and in Milwaukee. But, you know, I think some of the things that really strike me is, you know, the guy who was including reporters on a Signal chat, you know, leaking military secrets, I'm sure he's going to have a lot of trust from other ambassadors at the UN. I'm sure people are really going to want to talk to him.
That is, thank you for pointing that out, because there's so much incompetency, there's so much mediocrity failing up over and over and over again, that is so important, because whether you're talking about Steve Witkoff effectively doing the job of the Secretary of State because Marco Rubio has to be tethered to the Oval Office, no one trusts.
How many things has Rubio picked up too? He's running USAID here. He's running this. He's
the archives. He's the national archivist, USAID, Secretary of State, and
all
this.
The things they don't care about.
Correct. They're like little Marco. Here you go. Here's another thing to add to your brief. But this, I've made this point, and I've asked various national security experts about this, and any economist, same thing. How does anyone negotiate with incompetent, lying fools? Like, the word of these people means nothing, does it?
No, because he wants it all to go to him,
right?
Trump, right? The power in one person. And they're not serious people. I mean, they're serious about some of the damage they're doing. They're serious about the corruption. They're serious about milking us for as much as we've got. But actually protecting our national security, keeping us safe, protecting our economy, a strong country, that doesn't matter to them.
What do you make of, I'll use the wrestling term, like the kayfabe, the performativeness of all of this? Because before you came on the air, Joe, we were talking about this idea that, today these two really big stories were happening basically in tandem. One story is driven entirely by the corrupter in chief, the great orange man, right? He just decides, like, oh, Mike Wells is out. I'm going to make this announcement on Truth Social. While these extraordinarily devastating rulings are being issued and then made public and talked about from a Trump-appointed judge in the Southern District of
Texas.
Right. So is this literally the performative politics of a constant distraction cycle? And how do you, Joe, talk to people that are listening to us right now? What's your advice to them about which ball to keep their eye on?
Yeah. And I think that's super important. I think we have seen from Trump throughout his career, certainly as president, when there's a cycle, a news cycle, something he doesn't like, changes the subject, does something outrageous. And not only do we have these pretty damning rulings, right, making clear that what they are trying to do with, breaking the law, using fake emergencies to deport people, we heard at the beginning of this week, children who are U.S. citizens, one of whom has cancer, right, kidnapping them, sending them out of the country. When they get bad news, the economy tanking, right, the first time that our economy has contracted in 3 years, they try to change the subject. And so in terms of talking to people about keeping your eye on the ball, I don't think the eye on the ball here is our GDP went down under Trump. It's true. And now, 59% of Americans, do not approve of how Trump is handling the economy. But the thing to keep our eye on the ball is the harm they've already caused. So 300,000 pounds of food that was destined for Milwaukee.
Rotting. Yeah.
Rotting. Exactly. It's not like we didn't buy it. Now it's going to go somewhere else. Just going away because of the cuts that they've made to food assistance programs. And I think that, for folks listening here, you're going to talk to people. We're in persuasion mode. We are in get more people under the big tent.
Yes.
It's fun here also. We don't lie. But keeping our eye on the ways they are causing harm already, especially when they connect to something that they're about to do. So that 300,000 pounds of food that's destined for Milwaukee for people who are struggling to eat, for people who are poor, that hasn't come in, might that have something to do with the fact that they're trying to gut SNAP and food assistance and Meals on Wheels in this next budget? I think it does. That's the stuff they're trying to hide.
Folks, we're with Joe Radazovich of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. This is, to the extent that I fail at this job on a day-over-day basis, Joe, it's because my head is so filled with all of this stuff and I see the matrix, if you will, right? I'm always seeing the connections, even today, right? Talking about Marco Rubio after we have our tete-a-tete here for the last half of this hour, I'm going to talk about the fact that Steve Witkoff's kid was today on a stage in Dubai announcing another Donald Trump family $1 billion-plus grift that we have never seen the likes of before. It's the cronyism, right? The interrelationships between all this stuff. And we've spent some time today talking about the fact that not a single MAGA member of the House of Representatives over the last 2 days and any of the budget reconciliation markup committee meetings said a word. They just voted down every Democratic amendment without speaking because they're terrified of their own voters because there is real pain happening. More people are hungry, hurting, sick, getting sicker, losing health insurance coverage, paying more while their paychecks are less and less or their jobs are eliminated.
We have to rely on, Americans who happen to be represented by Republicans, right, in Congress, which should not matter. Your job is to represent your constituents, but, they can't meet with them, right? They won't hold town halls.
Correct.
They don't get back to people. And so we've seen now, last night, Representative Presley, Anna Presley of Massachusetts, she read a letter from a mother, child is disabled, relies on Medicaid, and they were having that markup you were talking about. Republicans didn't want to talk about it. And she was like, you won't talk to your own constituents. So I'm going to read one of the letters from your constituents because they're sending them to me instead. And the member that, happened to be from a member in Michigan's district got all upset and, this is decorum and this and that. It's like,
decorum?
You're making the largest cut to Medicaid in history and you're lying about it.
Every day, lying every day about it, right?
Yes. Yes. So, I think that's it is too much work for one person and you were taking it on with the show to try to cover what they are doing on every day, because they put so much distraction out to hide one, the corruption, and two, the harm. They're getting rich, and they are hurting people. Their level of cruelty they're willing to put in place to do it, it's so high.
Terror by error, cruelty by corruption. Like, pick your alliterative phrase here. One of the things that I see happening more and more, and it's happening here in the state of Wisconsin, and I wonder your thoughts about this from a grassroots perspective, Joe, is that, for example, in the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin, Dr. Kristen Lierley ran and lost to Tony Weed, a newbie to the political scene. To my understanding, he has yet to hold a town hall. Dr. Lierley is holding town halls. Other people are showing up. And the phenomena that you just described, where people in red districts are reaching out not to their MAGA elected official because they won't hear back, not to the Ron Johnsons of the world, not to the Derek Van Ortons, the Tom Tiffany's, the Weeds, et cetera, et cetera. They're reaching out to Democrats because Democrats will actually try to do something to help people. How does this play from now until the midterms? Like, where should Democrats keep doing what they're doing? Do they need to change course, or is this kind of the wait and see?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to put our foot on the accelerator a little bit. And that's going to take everybody. That's not just, you know, elected officials. Like, this is we rely on each other for all of these pieces. Activists, people who aren't engaged in politics all the time. So we need to do more. But what they're doing with reconciliation, which is this budget process, and, like, people listening, you don't need to get in the weeds. You can if you want. You can follow
along. It's the budget. Yeah.
It's great. But it's the budget.
Yeah.
And it's the way that they're carrying out their scam. It's the way that they're going to make the largest cut to Medicaid in history. It's the way that they're going to end food assistance for tons of people in order to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. It's their big corruption play. And their own voters hate it. That's the thing to really, I think, engage on it from a grassroots perspective. I do think walking into 2026, there is no reason that we are not going to have a huge majority. There's no excuse for it otherwise. Not just because, democracy is on the line. But the best way to save democracy is actually to show the power that people have. And that's in this reconciliation process. It's to defeat this bill.
I totally agree, Joe. And the argument I made just before you came on was this. MAGA elected officials in Congress are not afraid of Donald Trump. They're afraid of you, every person listening. They're afraid of their own voters. They're afraid of telling the truth. They're afraid of actual accountability. Make the math math. Quit talking in riddles and rhymes and proverbs. Tell us exactly what you're doing if you're so damn proud of it. We're going to continue in just a few moments with Joe Radazovich. He's with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I want us to start thinking about these questions. When we look both backwards and forwards, what do you, Joe, and what do you, the listener, think will be the thing that moves the needle the most for those swing voters, for regular people? Are people going to have to feel the pain specifically in order to get motivated? Because I think many of us who've been paying attention, we're in the streets, we're doing the thing. But for those who have been on the sidelines or cynical to it all, what moves the needle now? I've got Joe Radazovich from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, their VP for Campaigns and Outreach. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. What motivates you? We discuss next.